Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 21st on the West Coast, now December the 22nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to also welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and I want to reference the fact that we made it through the 21st, this being a very mystical day for those mystical secret people around the world that like to play nasty and dirty games on their secret holidays. This being the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. And I suppose if it's the shortest day, that means it's the longest night. So we're going to remain vigilant. Tonight we're going to be talking about some interesting things that have come out in recent years, particularly because of the great work of one Mr. Walter Burian. And before we bring tonight's guest on, I'm going to ask you to sort of set your hearts and your intent on listening to what we talk about tonight with the intention to contribute to solutions. And in essence, I'm going to ask you to put your lights on.
Thank you.
That's Carlos Santana telling us, put your lights on, that boogeyman's underneath the bed. The boogeyman's everywhere these days. And if it weren't for the work of tonight's guests, along with the gentleman I mentioned before we listened to this track from Carlos Santana, we would not have a visual representation of some solutions to the world financial crisis, and we have at our disposal a method for turning all of this insanity around. Tonight's guest is a documentarian and has produced a number of documentaries on YouTube, on the internet, and he's been on several other shows, one in particular with our good friend, last night's guest, Dr. A. Truat, and the story behind the story. And he returns here second time this month on Evident Footprints, my good friend, Clint Richardson. Clint, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
Well, I know we want to talk about CAFR tonight. We were going to go into that a little deeper than we did on the last show. And we also talked about the TSA incidents, and that sort of died down, hasn't it, after we exposed some of the fraud going on with many of the videos so, and the reports. I think it was a lot of fear-mongering. But this reality of the massive corruption going on Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, U.S. Treasury, and the government, and pretty much across the country, has not gone away. In fact, the mainstream media is now starting to report this a little bit. But of course, we're not getting the whole truth, or very little of the truth, for that matter. Do you want to comment on that, Clint?
Did you say what were you referring to?
Well, CBS, 60 Minutes, did a little story on the collapse of the impending looming collapse of the financial markets. They didn't go into very much detail. They talked about shady business deals with some of the banks and lending money to people who were unable to pay the money back. Of course, that's all by design. But they didn't go into that in any great detail, and they certainly didn't put the blame on the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, the brokerage firms. They didn't really get into that at all.
Well, I have a great fear that I really need to I think, get out to people, and that is this whole campaign to end the Federal Reserve. Now, I'm not saying that ending the Federal Reserve or the central bank, for that matter, is necessarily a bad idea, but I want people to think about it before going out and holding up a sign and saying, end the Fed, because really, if the Federal Reserve were to end tomorrow, do you have a replacement? Because if you don't have a replacement, guess what's going to happen? The World Bank is going to come in, and we're going to have a world reserve currency, and the dollar will be gone because the Federal Reserve owns the dollars. And so this whole campaign to end the Fed, my personal opinion on it is, goes like this, essentially. If you can get the people to do your work for you, if you can get people who think that they're doing a good thing by calling for an end to the Federal Reserve, and then end it without the people realizing, oh, wait a minute, we don't have anything to replace it. We better think about this first. No, we're just gung-ho to do it. And because it's portrayed in the media and because it's being played up by the media, I don't trust it because I'm very afraid that they're going to let us succeed in our effort. And we are going to end the Fed, and then the United Nations is just going to come in, put their, like I said, their global bank, their global currency, IMF, all of these organizations, and we're going to have a lot less sovereignty than we even do now. And that's my greatest fear. My greatest fear is that we are being set up to do the dirty work. They want the Fed to go away because they want to bring in this global control. And if they can get us to do it, then it's that much better because we'll feel like we had a victory when all along we were just being played.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those who and I understand what you're saying. Personally, I don't think you should fear it. I know you were maybe speaking figuratively rather than literally, but we didn't have a Federal Reserve, and the country was doing just fine. And then all of a sudden they came in, and you had this fiat banking system, and they removed the gold, they removed the silver. The country went bankrupt. The Federal Reserve itself, in essence, as a central bank, was bankrupt in 1933. And they've lied to us ever since then about that reality. So the concept of having the Treasury issue the money is one which would be welcome to anyone that wants to see the Republic restored. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I would completely agree with you there. But do we have that plan in place? Because right now we have a bunch of corrupt politicians as our congressmen and our senators, our politicians, our courts, our private corporations, many of them owned by the very judges that are ruling, presiding over your case, renting out the courts to the... We have a real problem with corporate ownership of most of these things. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I wholeheartedly believe that, as written in the Constitution, Congress should be printing money. Well, you know, all that rigmarole about Congress being able to print money without interest and saving the economy, but we don't have a plan for that, is what I'm saying. We can't just end something and just expect that to happen. We have to make a proposal. We have to actually do it, because these guys aren't going to do it for us, because they don't represent us. They represent the Federal Reserve. They represent the corporate structure of America, not the people of America. So mm-hmm. We just have to proceed carefully is my only argument.
Yeah. There's going to have to be some sort of intervention here. I'm sure you would agree. Because you're describing is a privatization and an incorporation of the various branches of government operating as separate business entities who are all milking.
That is exactly what we have. I mean, if you really want to understand the way this structure really works, all you have to do is look at the federal prison system. It's really interesting, really, because the Federal Prison Industries is the name of a corporation Okay, that corporation was incorporated in 1936. So we've had this Federal Prison Industries, a corporation, for that long, over 70 years. Basically, what's happening is these courts, which are private corporations, are a lot of times opened and built by these judges. They use taxpayer money to do that, of course. They write, you know, these dummy accounts, money on these dummy accounts. They they rent it back to the government, who uses it as their court. The purpose of this is to have a constant influx of what I refer to as legalized slaves. Now, these slaves, these people who go to court, who've really not committed a real crime, all they've done is broken code. Code is a corporate thing that they are breaking. And so these courts are putting in people in jail when they haven't harmed anybody, and they haven't harmed anybody's property. So there's no plaintiff. There's no person that you can confront. There's no witness to your guilt. There's only the state. And the state is a corporation. The state is a artificial person. So we have a real problem here. So we've got a judge who's getting paid off to send as many people to prison as possible. Meanwhile, the prison industry, the federal prison industries, are making hand over fist money like you wouldn't believe. They're paying these guys in prison, 10 to 60 cents an hour to build all sorts of products. Now, if you go to a website called Unicor, UNICOR, you can look and see what you can buy from the private prison industry, and it's ridiculous. When you think about the concept that Unicor is basically the Home Depot or Walmart of the prison industry. So a constant influx of legalized slavery is going on through these privatized courts, and of course, nothing's being done by the corporation as a whole, the government, because it's a profitable business. I mean, these are big government contracts. You think things are being outsourced to China? Boy, you should look at unicor.gov. You want to see where all the outsourcing is going? Take a look there.
Yeah, we talked about that on the last show as well.
Yeah.
An interesting point that I'd like to bring up, because it's sort of it's hidden right before our noses. It's right in front of our face, actually. And this term of capital letters, spelling one's name in capital letters. When we learned to write in school, you wrote in capital letters and you wrote in uncapitalized letters. And when they refer to us in our in specific documents, contract law, licensing, how they address us through the government is always in capital letters. And one always looks at that as the larger letters, or what is called uppercase when you get into typewriters and computers and the keyboards, using the shift key to produce the larger letter. But in reality, the capitalization of the name is symbolic of the person's indentured status to the corporation called the government. It's a handy-dandy little trick they pulled on us, isn't it?
If we were actual free people, which I wholeheartedly do not believe, all we have to do is pull up just a very few things that we consider as freedoms. Are we free to drive? Well, sure, we're free to drive if we have a license. You know, if we have permission from the state, are we free to, there's so many things that you can put in there. Are we free to assemble? Well, anymore, not really, not without permission from the state. We can go into the free speech zone, the zone where we can have free speech, but only with a permit to be in that zone. I mean, we're not a free people. The the concept of having your slaves choose their own profession has been going on for quite some time. And so, you know, what you're alluding to, meaning the corporatization, the corporate structure of yourself, your person, your legal person, as opposed to your lawful self,
mm-hmm. or a legal
natural
fixer.
Self.
Yeah.
But don't you know, we can't be fooled all the time with the capital letter thing, because they you know, I've seen evidence that shows that it doesn't have to be in capital letters. It's the preferable way of writing it because that's the corporate structure, but it doesn't actually have to be in capital letters. So you have to be very careful when going back and forth between your natural name and your corporate name or your corporate person.
Yeah. Well, it's generally considered that when your name is capitalized, you are monetized.
Yes.
In a sense, you have a value. But the value is to them, not to you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make...
Yeah, it's interesting. I've got quite a few people that I've made contact with now, and we are planning... got a little bit of funding, I hope, from a gentleman who wants to really get the CAFR thing out there and the corporation thing out there to... You know, what he refers to as the republics, which within the 50 states that have been formed, you know, the constitutional republics formed outside of the corporate structure, you know, picking up the Constitution, dusting it off, and all that. So we've got a lot of people interested in maybe doing some larger conferences, seminars, documentaries, getting people together and really starting to hash this out. Because what I'm finding is that everybody has little pieces of the puzzle. I have little pieces. Other people have really big pieces, but they don't have some of the little pieces that I have. And if they did, they could have got out of that jam a while ago, or they could have done this. So it's time to get people together. What my greatest concern about people in this day and age is, and I guess for always, is that good people just do not associate in the way that evil must. You know, we've got a lot of great people out there, but because they're good in nature, because they're not corrupt and they're not doing things at the expense of other people, they don't feel the need as much to get together in groups or clubs or secret societies, whatever you want to call them. And I think that's one of our biggest our biggest problems is that we're not organized. We are a group of libertarians who are not organized. And you cannot find an organized group without being organized yourself. You're going to lose every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of this problem too, Clint, is recognizing the true nature of the issue, the evil, the corruption. And it's a lot for someone just waking up to grasp instantly. They become fearful of it. In fact, the fear keeps them locked in the box from the outset.
Well, and I think we've all been in that little box. I mean, I know I certainly was for quite some time, because I would listen to these shock jocks. And I think we all know who the big shock jock is out there. And I would listen, and I would be scared, and I would never hear a solution, and I would just wonder what the heck we're going to do, and I would never really, you know, get anywhere with it except to be frightened and maybe buy some of those products that they're advertising. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the people that people need to get away from some of that stuff and start actually concentrating on solutions. Now, for our purposes, when talking about the CAFRs and Walter Burian, you know, his solution is very close to my heart. Now, keeping in mind that I have no stake, no affiliation with Walter, except that we're friends and he's taught me about 20 or 30 years of information in about a year. Which I'm very grateful for, because I would have never figured this out by myself. He has a thing called a tax retirement fund, And if you go to taxretirement.com, you can scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page and click on the link, the big blue link down there that says it's like a prospectus. And if you read through his prospectus, it might not give you the full details of what he wants to do, but it reads essentially, I mean, the first words in the first paragraph are "we the people." It very much reads like a constitution or a declaration, and it's something that people will vote on to get into their venue, and by venue I mean local government, state government, school district. I mean, what we're imagining is a school district or a county or a city, a municipality. All of these are corporations, but we're imagining, instead of the same old system that we're accustomed to, we're starting a fund very similar to a pension fund that, after 5 or 6 years, once that fund builds, can actually pay for everything that school needs. Never again will you have to trust a politician to ensure that schools are getting what they need, to ensure that your children are getting what they need. Instead, you have a fund that's being built like a pension fund, and pension funds, you know, there's not been one pension fund in government that's failed for the last 70 years. It just doesn't happen. These things, they know what's happening in the market. So take those same people who are building those pension funds, change the beneficiary to the people instead of some attorney who has deep pockets, and actually fund the school or fund your community, fund everything. Who needs to pay taxes? Why pay taxes when you can have a fund paying for everything that's going on in your government? That is Walter Burian's solution. And if you really get to understand the ins and outs of this thing, I'm hoping anyway that you will want to do everything in your power to bring this to your venue, to your government, and vote on it, to get the people involved and to get this on the ballot as an initiative in your city. So
yes. That's a good point. If I could interject something briefly here, Clint, you brought up, you know, problem, reaction, solution, in essence. And when we fall into the pattern of their problem, their created problem, with the anticipated reaction from us, then we, by rote, fall into their solution. And if we were to react differently with the problem, and that's sort of what Walter has done, he's taken it upon himself then to address a solution and to put it into place, and it makes a lot of sense. Now, in regard to what you just said about the cost of an education, the cost of running a school, they've turned that into a series of Ponzi schemes where the taxpayers pay for the infrastructure of building the school, supporting the school, paying the teachers, and that money really is being played with. It's you could use the term invested, but is that actually an accurate word? Because investments are supposed to be returned to those that put the money out in the beginning, the ones that fund it. And they're skimming off all that money and saying, well, we have to raise taxes, we have to have another bond issue, we didn't anticipate this and we didn't anticipate that. The experts that they are, they never, ever face the reality that they've stolen the money. They've embezzled the money. They've hoodwinked the public. They've hoodwinked each other. They've destroyed financial institutions to put it in other institutions created specifically for that purpose. The money's taken in offshore accounts. They're paying secret debts to foreigners to avoid wars. And when they want to fill their coffers so they have more money to pay those debtors, they rob and plunder other countries. It's just one succession of criminal activity following another. Endless.
True. And, you know, okay. It's important, though, to... It's important to realize something that people don't want to face, and that something is that this is people doing this to people. We can say it's a corporation, and it is a corporation, but really what this is and what the problem boils down to is that ethics and morals and values are dead in corporate business, in government, and in the private sector. They're dead. You cannot get ahead without being corrupt, without lying, stealing, cheating. If you don't do that, you will not get ahead. It's simple as that, especially in government. Now, these people that are doing this, they start these funds, and they start skimming off the top, and they start doing all these things because they want to play the game. They want to be a big player in government. And so, yes, it's a corporation, but it's the people in the corporation all playing together, even though they don't really realize the full extent, the full scope and size of what they're doing when you take it all together. No, most people don't know. But they do know they're doing something wrong. They definitely know that they're on the wrong side of the fence when it comes to, you know, people. Now, another aspect of this is, let's take lotteries. You know, we all just take for granted the lottery corporations, but lotteries are businesses. They are big corporations, and the money that's being made through those lotteries, yeah, some of it goes to schools, but just because it goes to schools, that 30 or 40% of the money that gets collected by the lottery, just because it's going to schools doesn't mean it's going to schools. I mean, it goes into the general fund, it gets transferred around, as you say, all these accounts and investments and all these things. Again, school districts are corporations. They're private individual corporations. So we have a serious problem, an infestation of corporations. And because they are these artificial persons and because ethics is dead, we need to essentially make ethics a law. We need, and that's what Walter wants to do. He wants to make it so that you can't cheat. And if you do, and a person, any person, catches you, you're out. You're in jail. Total transparency for everything. There's no reason that you or I should not be able to go into any government office and get the CAFR or any other, you know, just the general books and say, okay, wait, can you tell me why this is happening here? It's just like looking at your own checkbook. People complain about their school district saying, well, my school district's broke and I don't know. And nobody knows what the checking account balance is in their school district. All they know is that they're asking for more money through raising taxes, and that their kids aren't getting a good education, and that they have 40 children in each class, and that the teachers aren't doing their jobs because they're overwhelmed, and it just goes on and on and on. But you don't even know the checking account balance for your local school. So how do you possibly hope to change anything, whereas Walter's system would completely change that aspect and completely make everything transparent, which is beautiful to me.
In one word, you're speaking about accountability.
What's that?
And they have accountants. They have people that check to make sure that the accountability is there. But it's not working. So that's certainly
an option. Well, yeah, but you know, firms, such as Price Waterhouse and all those, guess who owns those through collective investment? I mean, they're stock. They have stock as well. They're huge. So you have government corporations, in other words, corporations that are owned, majority owned through stock investment, like PricewaterhouseCooper, who are doing the auditing of these CAFRs and of these governments. Well, are they going to say, oh, wait a minute, we see a mistake here, you laundered all this money, we better report that? No, they're not going to do that. They're going to take what they're given, and they're going to put out the report, the audit report of you know, it's a shell game. It's the biggest Ponzi shell game you'll ever possibly see.
Well, at the end of all of Billy Graham's television broadcast, there's a crawl at the bottom of the screen, the very end, and it says, your contributions or your donations to the Billy Graham Ministries is audited by the Arthur Andersen Group. And isn't that one of the firms that gotten a lot of hot water some years back?
Of course.
Over this very topic that we're discussing, you see.
Yeah.
So to have these big firms there doesn't necessarily imply that there's going to be accountability. It implies that they're good at fudging the numbers.
No, in fact, you know what we have to do, really, what we really have to do is just stop. Is just stop putting any type of faith or legitimacy, and that includes through voting. You got to stop voting, because if not enough, if only 20% of the population votes, how can they possibly say that they have a majority of representation? They're illegitimate as it is, because only 50% of the people vote now. Voting gives these guys legitimacy. You're taking part in a system. You're giving credibility to the corporation that's acting as your government. It's not your government. It is something completely different. And the only reason it has power is because we let it. I'm not talking about anarchy here. I'm not talking about all these scary terms that everybody's so afraid of. I'm just talking about changing through the vote, through by law, changing the structure to where it starts benefiting us, the people, and our future generations, instead of these guys who've been doing this for over 100 years. And so, yeah, if you just stop and think about it, everything is fake. The whole structure, from the, what do they call it, the checks and balances? There's no checks and balances. Give me a break. They can play the game all they want. They can throw chairs at each other in the ring and at night go to dinner with each other. That, you know, there's no tangible checks and balance anymore, not in a private corporation. They're there to make profit. That's it. That's what taxation is. That's what all of this stuff is done. That's what pension funds are set up for. They're not there to give teachers retirement. They're there to build funds, to build a power base, to take control of things like Fortune 500 corporations.
Yeah, there are checks. They all go through the DTCC in New York, but that's but they don't get balanced.
Yeah, well, all the world is a stage. That's all we have to realize. The whole thing is an ongoing play that we are watching and participating in. And as long as we participate in it, it's going to keep going and going and going until we, you know, peacefully make a change. And what I'm offering and what Walter is offering is that change. And I just can't say enough. I've never seen anything else that can solve this. I've never heard anyone else offer up an actual solution that would actually make a change for the better. And once one place starts to do it, I firmly believe that the town next door, when they hear, you know, after 4 or 5 years, that this city over here stopped paying any taxes, no property taxes, no no taxes, because they don't need to, I can't believe that they wouldn't be like, well, hey, I want to do this too. And it's just going to spread like wildfire. It has to, because there is no other. What else can we do? I guess that's my question. If anybody has a better solution, you know, my email is clint@kaffirone.com. Send that solution to me, because I've never heard any other solution. All I hear is a bunch of fear and a bunch of lying through the media and even through the alternative media, which who knows the difference anymore on some of these cases. So
yes. In my local area, there's a prototypical situation that describes all the things we're talking about. The prior administration actually had a surplus. They were in the black substantially. And within a month, all that money was gone. A month. And most likely we had a corrupt election, because everyone was in shock. The mayor of the town was very popular and was fixing things, fixing the streets, repairing the infrastructure, and literally was left with a deficit and shredded records. And of course, you can't get prosecution of that because the counties are in on it, you see. When you begin to study the schemes that are going on between towns and counties and the state and then the federal government and all of these secret land swaps that are going on that produce money for escrow accounts and title companies and brokerage firms, and then they're photocopying the contracts and creating new contracts that no one sees, you see, and they're selling these to foreign investors. This is why the real estate market collapsed, because of these Ponzi schemes. And in this local area here where I live, this corruption is massive already. And they're trying to grab money that they don't have and trying to put it into the general fund. They're stealing from funds where the state statutes explicitly prohibit them from doing that. The Perpetual Care Fund, which is the cemetery fund. This is not the only town that's done this in the country. They do it everywhere.
Yeah.
These monies are to be held in trust, and only 10% of the interest bearing portion of the account is to be used to maintain the cemetery. They cleaned these accounts out years ago. And as money's put in when someone dies and they get a cemetery plot, they're skimming off that money too. And then one wonders why they can't find a gravestone that stands 3 feet off the ground, because it's covered with weeds. These are the types of things that are going on. Schools is a big, big issue. And it's, again, a major concern in my area. And what I've uncovered in that regard will blow your mind. But it's the same companies that profited from 9/11 that are profiting from these schemes. And every time Goldman Sachs comes up, every single time, the path leads to Goldman Sachs. There are other companies too. But and this is one that's pretty much on the top of Walter's list, as I recall.
Yeah, well, you really, again, you need to understand that, you know, we put all our blame on banks, and we blame corporations, we blame Monsanto, but we have to put the blame on who is controlling those corporations. And when government is invested in these corporations, and they're the ones that are submitting votes, proxy votes, in order to elect the board of directors, and of course the board of directors is the one who hires the CEO, when they're voting on mergers and acquisitions, when they're, you know, talk about an antitrust, there's no such thing as antitrust, because the government can vote to merge companies whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. They're not going to set a law against themselves. Everything we're talking about here, we're talking about corporations owned through collective investment. All the issues that are happening, the corporate governance of those corporations, all happening because government is voting on these issues, and because they have controlling interests, controlling shares, more mm-hmm. than 50% of the company, the government, or the collective government, is the one that is making the decisions for these banks. You think banks are above the law? No, they're chartered by the government. The rules are set in place to help these banks because they own the banks. I refer to this as the nuclear bomb. If a nuclear bomb is dropped on your city, who are you going to blame? Are you going to blame the bomb, which is the bank, or are you going to blame the country, which is the government, that dropped the bomb on your city? If you're smart, you're going to blame the country, not the gun. Okay, the guns don't kill people. People kill people. Okay, so the blame has to go where it belongs. Goldman Sachs is to blame, obviously. There's some serious things going on there, but who controls Goldman Sachs? That's the key issue that needs to be understood. And once you understand that in all cases, all these Fortune 500 companies, major international banks, are controlled through controlling interest, stock investment, by government, you really can answer just about any question that comes along. Well, why is this allowed to happen? Why isn't there a monopoly law there? Why do I only have one cable company in my area? Why did my water bill go up so high? Why You know, everything. Why did the food bill just get passed by the Senate? How could they possibly think that's constitutional? Well, if you own all the food companies that are going to benefit from this, if you pass a health care bill that's going to guarantee trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to the companies like medical companies, insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies that you have stock investment in and control those companies, you've got a vicious, vicious circle going on. And the blame, the point of that is that the blame has to be put on the owner of the bank or the shareholder who's making the decisions. And that, in every case, just about is government.
And what you're describing to me sounds like violation of the RICO laws.
Extremely. Extreme violations in every way. What I'm saying is this is state-controlled capitalism, which is the definition of fascism. State-controlled capitalism. Let that roll around in your brain for a while. State-controlled capitalism.
Yes. Well, I understand that. I'm merely making a point for those listeners out there. Yeah. So, and to do that as a government, is that not treason? To do that to the demise of the people?
Well, I think it was treason when they set up the corporate structure in the first place. I mean, the first corporate Washington, D.C. area was set up in 1801. Then in 1871, there was the Act of 1871, which incorporated it further, I think took all those three cities and made it into one municipality. And at that point, you know, you have so many things to consider. But, the treason is the fact that these guys are acting as government, letting you think that they're your lawful government, but and aren't revealing the fact that they're actually a private corporation and that the only laws that you are breaking is their corporate law. And because of what you mentioned earlier with the straw man, the all capital, you know, doing business as, you know, we're all culpable and liable for all these things that they say we are because we're acquiescing, we're consenting to their power. And again, it's all about consent. You're giving them power by giving them permission to do what they're doing.
No, it's implied consent.
Yep. Yep, and that's, you know, silence. If you are silent, in other words, all you people out there who are not doing anything about this, all of you are compliant. You are giving your consent through silence. Silence is consent. The only way that you cannot consent with anything is to verbalize that consent. I do not consent, period.
Yes. Now, returning back to Walter Burian's solutions, do you want to give an overview of that? There's so much. First of all, I guess we should say for the new listeners out there that there is what is called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Every corporation produces one of those. And unlike the popular belief, we think that if a town has $2 million at the end of the fiscal year in the black, in other words, they have a bank account, there's actually $2 million in that bank account that can be used for expenditures to provide services in the city, fixing roads, bridges, cleaning up the parks, applying it in places where there are actually ordinances or laws permitting these things to go on and to be funded through committee meetings and voting and with the consent and the understanding of the people that those services are going to be provided. If those things aren't happening and the money is disappearing, we have to put a stop to that. We have to demand that cease. Now, most people don't want to confront anybody over those issues, which is why so many people are giving their silent consent. They don't like confrontation. Many can't grasp the depravity of the situation. And yet Walter's solution is pretty simple because He talks about funding a society, a town, a city, on some principles where people become vested within a particular amount of time, and they don't have to keep putting assets, their hard-earned assets, into the system to keep it going. The right. newcomers do well, that.
You know, I will say this. There is nothing, obviously, that is truly a simple solution, and this is the same. It's not a simple solution, okay? We, as the people, first of all, Walter can't do it. He's waiting for someone to take the bull by the horns. I'm trying to, you know, educate people further as well and get someone to actually start doing this in their local venue, and I'm going to tour around and talk to people about it as well. So that's kind of in the future. But basically, first of all, it's a prospectus. It's very similar to, in California, what's a popular, the Prop 8 bill, okay? A proposition that's written by an organization or a group. It's put on the ballot, and people vote on it, okay? That's the first step. The first step, obviously, is educating people. And so you start with maybe a small venue, and you go door to door, and you tell people about this and say, hey, look what we can do. This is what we have, this is what's happening, and this is what can happen. And so you get all the people interested, and you say, in 5 years, you will never have to pay a red cent in tax again, you know, depending on how much you can get people to do. Once this gets on the ballot, once the people actually vote for it, okay, that's when Walter and his team, which he will select, comes in, and the vote, the actual the proposition or whatever you want to call it in your state, once that's on, you know, once that gets voted in, all of a sudden everything is transparent. All the books must be opened. Everybody in the state must cooperate with Walter's team. In other words, if he asks for a document, he wants to know where some money went, they have to comply. If they do not comply, under federal law or state law, I can't remember which, they will be put into prison for treason. Okay, that's how powerful this thing is. It demands transparency. It demands cooperation from the entire structure of that state just for that one municipality. So at that point, Walter's looking for extra funding, like you were just talking about, that's just sitting there being used for things that aren't helping the people. He's going to take that, and he's going to say, nope, you can't do that anymore. We're going to put that into the TRF fund. And he's going to look over here, and he's going to find more wasteful spending. And crooks, you know, people that will actually get in trouble for what they're doing instead of getting away with it. And he's going to take that money. He's going to put it in that fund. Okay? Well, then you've got a starting for the fund, so you can start investing that money, just like a pension fund. And the reason he models it after a pension fund is because that is the weapon of choice for government to make a profit. Those pension funds have not missed a beat for 70-some-odd years. They've made money hand over fist to the point where, you know, right now they're standing at about probably more than this now because the stock market's gone up by 4,000 points, but you know, you're talking about $26 trillion in pension funds alone in the U.S., okay? That is an excellent model to model the tax retirement fund off. So just consider it like a pension fund, and except instead of paying just the state employees' retirement when they finally retire at age 65, it's actually going to be paying the ongoing budgetary requirements for each individual thing that you tell it it's going to. So if it's a school district, it can be just for that school district. It'll pay everything in the school district, including the teachers' salaries and retirement.
Okay? Or in that town where the school is, as opposed to exactly. The town paying for something in some other part of the country or some other part of the world that they're not even aware of.
Exactly. And now, yeah. The thing about that is that each one of these systems that are set up within these towns, school districts are separate corporations from the city or municipality corporation. So they're each individual corporations, and they have to be taken over by the people through, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like this, through this tax retirement fund, by the people. And if you can start setting them up individually for each thing. The other beautiful thing about this is, you know, instead of investing in Walmart, which is now in just about every part of the world, instead of investing in these multinational corporations, invest in local business. Kick out the Walmarts and say, let's build up our city. Let's invest in ourselves. Let's invest in our local economy. I don't think people can really even comprehend what that means because it hasn't been done.
Well, now a lot of people are probably thinking, well, what's going to happen to my job? I work at Goldman Sachs, or I work for J.P. Morgan, or Edward Jones, one of these brokerage firms, Charles Schwab. And, you know, if they were doing what they purported to be doing at the outset, and that's to invest in real tangible investments where they could solicit research and development capital to develop energy devices. And we're talking about things that liberate people, not imprison them.
Sure.
Okay. Then doing honorable business, and if they steal the money from that project, then they're liable to the same penalties as those that steal from the government.
Let's use China as an example, because what people don't think of, I think everybody knows this, but they don't really think about it. What's happening is that we, you know, all these corporations, these Fortune 500 corporations, apparel companies, all these mall stores, they're purchasing their items from China, but they're not purchasing them from Chinese companies. They're purchasing from American companies. Okay, mm-hmm. America has built up China from a third world country into a massive conglomerate corporate state. You've got American companies to the tune of about $14 trillion, really. People are worried about China. So, China's got $1.4 trillion in U.S. debt. Well, yeah, they're going to pull that out. It's going to hurt the economy. But America has $14 trillion invested in China. All we'd have to do is then say, okay, well, we're going to take $3 trillion back. And now your economy is destroyed. That's the reality of the situation. America has its roots so dug deep into all of these countries, especially these third world countries, that, you know, to say that China could possibly ruin our economy is absolutely ridiculous. And people have to start realizing that type of information. That's the scaremongering that you hear on TV. So likewise, when you say that the guy from Goldman Sachs is worried about losing his job, well, let's think about this for a while. What is his job? His job is to make money off of money. That is not a job. That is usury. That is the worst thing in the world. That is usury. There has to be a crisis of conscience going on where people step back and say, hey, wait a minute. This can't continue without it crashing into the ground. We can't continue to make money off the backs of the American people, hurting our prosperity, hoarding our land, hoarding everything that is valuable to us, only to make a profit. Eventually, all the skin and guts are going to be gone from the carcass that these guys are picking off of. And then what's left? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's the point where we're going to be in real trouble. Walter simply wants to change that, say, quit picking off my carcass. You can do the same. You can make the same amount of money. I mean, these guys can still manage these funds. They can still make humongous deals. But why not have the beneficiary be the people instead of these higher-up, you know, bank owners and corporations? Let the people be free. Let the people benefit from this. Have a beautiful society, not a slave society. That's all this guy wants. And that's why I'm here, trying to tell people that this is the solution. And if we don't do something and people don't help this guy, Walter Burian, out, we're gone. We are done for. Everything will be owned outright. all your land, all your property. You'll continue to pay property tax at higher rates. And if you don't pay your property tax, the corporate government's going to come in and take your house. You don't own it. The government does, because you have to pay rent on that house. It's as simple as that. We need to stop that. We need to stop eminent domain. We need to stop all of these things that have been happening. And Walter's TRF funds are that solution. So,
yes. Well, I agree with you. And let's take a moment. I want to return to playing a little bit of music here. There's a message that came out in the early 70s. And this was from Sly and the Family Stone. I want to give you the opportunity to gather your thoughts and make a powerful closing comment, if you would, Clint.
Yes, sir.
Stand in the end, it'll still be you. One that's done all the things you set out to do. Things you want are real. You have you to complete, and there is no deal. A midget standing tall, and the giant beside him about to fall. Stand. Don't you know that you are free? Well, at least in your mind, if you want to be.
You know, Clint, about 40 years ago, Sly or Sylvester Stewart, who headed the group Sly and the Family Stone out of San Francisco, saw all this very clearly, and that message still applies 40 years later. All you have to do is stand, take a stand, and have faith that there are solutions. We don't have to endure this tyranny. Would you like to make a closing comment, sir?
Well, you know, it's amazing how, you know, I'm 38 years old, and I kind of grew up on the cusp of when music was extremely powerful and heartfelt and had a message that you could feel in your heart, like just like what we heard. And you have a habit of choosing those type of songs. And I've got to say, one of the crimes that has happened because of this corporate structure is the complete destruction of the music industry. Your Britney Spears and your electronic music that has just taken all of the soul and all of the message out of music. Music was such a powerful tool to get people to do the right thing, to have that emotion and that lust to make a change. And obviously the 60s and the 70s were very evident. Right now we are bumps on a log. We are so placated. We are so calm. And, man, it's time to break out some of those old songs. And this time around, it's time to do it right. Okay? No drugs. None of the things that they thought were the right way to go back then. No free love. No, let's do what's lawful and what's right. Let's get together and stand together, because if we do not do something about this, and soon, we are no longer even a semblance of the United States of America. We are only the semblance of a completely corporate state or structure. We are in the midst of fascism. It's on our backs like a monkey, and if we do not do anything, if we do not take people like Walter and prop them up on a pedestal higher than our politicians, then we are dead in the water. And that's really all I got to say.
Well, that's well said, though. Certainly, and I agree with you about the music, of course. I'm a musician by trade. I'm a composer by trade, and I love music as long as it adheres to the general semblance of the art form, not the mind control, not the programming aspect of it, to which you referred, the mindlessness, the lack of soul, the lack of the human element in there. They're robotizing everything. They're robotizing the financial system. They're robotizing the educational system. Even religion is being robotized. The health system is going to turn everybody into an automaton if people don't wake up. And there are those who are never going to subscribe to that system. People like yourself and myself and others that we know that are doing this work. Certainly Walter Burian. Walter is that shepherd waiting for his flock to realize that he's been standing there with the staff to protect them from the wolves all along. And so, yes, I agree. We have to do something about this, and we have to do it soon. Time is of the essence.
And we have to do it amongst ourselves. We cannot continue to rely on the political structure. We cannot continue to rely on people who we think are our representatives but are not. It has to be us that does it.
Yes. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and I know you'll be back if I invite you next month. I'm sure we have a lot more to cover on this and some other topics as well. But I'm sure that tonight's show is going to stick in a lot of people's craw and be foremost in a lot of people's thoughts as well. The difference.
If anybody hasn't seen the movie yet, if you go to thecorporationnation.com, it's a free movie on YouTube. I'm making no profit off it. It's just trying to get people to wake up to the corporate structure. If you really want to understand all this, and the comprehensive annual financial report, that's where to go. thecorporationnation.com.
Yes, and I've watched that 3 times. And
well, you know, that makes me very happy and excited, because the fact that you watched it 3 times, I mean, that's a really great testimony.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, a recommendation, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It rings of Walter's work. It's a constant underlying tone throughout all of that, and you very meticulously cite examples of what backs up this whole premise. And we'd be foolish not to check it out. Certainly.
So, I certainly yes. appreciate it.
Okay. I'm going to hope that you'll join us again in the month of January. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and also a Happy New Year, because I may not be able to talk to you until then. So take care, and thank you for being on the show.
You too, my friend. Take care, everyone.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guest, Clint Richardson. Special thanks to Windtalkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show, either live or in an archive. And over at BBS Radio tonight, we have Doug Newsom on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. If you have to go away and can't listen to the show, I wish you a Merry Christmas and have a good night.